Dear Lord, you are such an amazing God. I praise your name for everything that you have done in my life and everyone's life. And Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and worship you and to profess that you are our Lord and Savior. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. We titled this talk this morning, The Prodigal Sons of Paradise. We all have a bit of a prodigal son story, but that story actually really touches dear to my heart. Because as the son that decided to leave home, I grew up in Paradise, California. Does everyone know where Paradise is? All right. I grew up in a very Adventist home. My father was more on the conservative side. In fact, he probably should have been a pastor. And I was taught to read my Bible from an early age. I read Ellen White's books growing up. I knew it forwards and backwards. I went to Adventist schools growing up. My older brother and I, we were very fascinated with making movies when we were little. My dad had an 8mm and a 16mm film camera when we were little, and he used to let my brother and I have as much film as we could go out and shoot. We'd gather all our little neighborhood kids together, and we'd write little stories and have little tree forts, and we would shoot these things. Never ever did we ever think that this would be something that we would do for a living, but as we started to get older, we started to become more and more fascinated with this thing called television and movies. And my dad, from early on, he didn't quite know how to put his finger on the TV. But he said, you know what? I don't want TV in my home. And so we were actually raised without the ability to watch movies and television. But, of course, like any child, goes over to their friend's house, and you hear about it from school, and so my brother and I, we were very much so fascinated by this business. Now, in Paradise, Brandon also was in my class and a good friend of mine growing up. When we got to high school age, we always talked about, man, wouldn't it be so neat to go down to Hollywood and make it in this movie industry and drive all those fast cars and live the high life. And we would spend most of our time dreaming about this Hollywood business. Well, as we started to get older and we went to Pacific Union College, we decided to take some of the film studies classes there. We didn't know where this was going to lead or how this was actually going to turn out. But as we started to take the classes, my spiritual life just took a large decline. And like you can find anything that you want to in college, you can find the good people, you can find the bad people. My life became much more interested in this fictitious world of Hollywood. And what they were pumping out at us was kind of starting to become some of my idols. Brandon and I, we would skip a lot of our college classes and we'd just rent movies. I don't know how we actually even made it through school. But the classes that we took, it was told to us while we were at school that Hollywood is a business that operates on who you know. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that. It doesn't matter if you graduate with a degree, you are going to start at the bottom no matter what. So I kind of took a hard look at that, and I said, wow, why am I spending so much money to go to school if it doesn't make a difference anyway, and this is actually what I'd like to do. So I pulled out of school and ended up in Hollywood. And within months of going to Hollywood, I decided to stop reading my Bible. I decided to stop going to church. I decided that it was more important to meet friends and to jump into this workforce, into the Hollywood business, which operates 7 days a week. And maybe by working in the business, I would somehow be able to witness to other people or something. Within months, I left my faith completely. I stopped talking to one of my best friends, my brother Tom, who also went to Pacific Union College and took the film studies classes with me, who I was very, very close to, ended up moving to Hollywood and very close to the time that I moved down there. I stopped talking to my brother, and life for me just became more about what I could get for myself. I fell heavily into the party lifestyle. Bars became a regular thing for me on the weekends. That sort of became my church, if you will. I was very, when you're in the whole bar scene, it was very quickly that I got involved in the whole drug world and the whole party lifestyle. And I feel like the whole time that I was there, God was constantly trying to woo me back. One of my best friends, Brandon here, he actually ended up, when he left PUC, he went out to Montana to become an architect. And he would keep in contact with me, and he actually came back into the church at an earlier age. He would call me up and he would say, "Hey, Scott, you know, have you been going to church?" I'd say, "Oh, man, I don't know. I don't really care about church anymore." And I didn't really want to talk about religion ever. I just wanted to tell him all about the movies that I had been working on or things that I'd been involved in. And Brandon here would continue to try to talk to me about God. There's a verse in Corinthians or in Romans 13. As I showed up here this morning and Chelsea was giving the Sabbath school and talking about brotherly love, actually, Romans, I'm sorry, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, it says, "Let brotherly love continue." When I think of brotherly love, my brother and I grew up in that kind of brotherly love that we would do absolutely anything for each other. I also shared that same sort of brotherly love with Brandon. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if they're chained with them, and those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." You see, Brandon had become part of the body of his church. And here his friend that he had grown up with and had talked about all these things at Pacific Union College and, "Oh, we want to go to the movies." And here he had seen his friend go out there. He had enough love to constantly say, "Scott, what about God? What about God?" And I constantly put my hand out and said, no, I don't want to talk about God. It wasn't long before I had completely even stopped talking to my brother Tom. Tom had lived down the street from me, basically. Within minutes, I could have gotten to his house. And we just never even saw each other. Never hung out. We seemed to go in two different paths. Tom started working in television. And I was trying to get heavily involved in the movie industry. And Tom asked me, 10 years into my life in Hollywood, he asked me if I would go home to Paradise Adventist Academy to our 10-year high school reunion, his 10-year high school reunion. And he didn't know anybody that was going, and he really wanted to go. And so he asked me if I'd go with him. And I said, "You know, Tom, man, it's been a long time since I've been around Adventist people, and I've kind of forgotten about this whole thing, church and God, and I know what that's going to be like. I don't want to go." But he begged me and begged me. He said, "Scott, will you please come?" So I said, "Fine, I'll come." When we showed up there, it was just as I kind of had suspected. Everybody seemed the same. All my friends' parents were still there, and a lot of the people that I had grown up with, they were there, but they just looked a little bit older. They had heard, of course, that we had gone down to Hollywood, and all anybody wanted to talk about was Hollywood. They'd come up to us and they'd say, "Man, have you met Brad Pitt? Have you met Britney Spears?" Of course, you know, the last thing that you want to do when you leave Hollywood is just talk about Hollywood all the time. So we kind of tried to keep that to a dull roar, and we really wanted to meet with people and pay attention and see where everybody had come and that we had grown up with. Well, while everybody was bombarding us with Hollywood talk, there was one kid that came up to us and he said, "You know what? How's your relationship with God?" And my brother and I looked at him and we said, "Wow, what?" And he said, "How is your relationship with Christ?" Now, this kid that came up to us and said this was a pastor's child who, of course, had a very rocky road, as most of them sometimes do. And he, growing up, was one of those kids that he did the most drugs, he did the most partying, and he was the wildest person that I knew in the Little Avenue school. And all of a sudden, here he is, changed. And he says, "How's your relationship with Christ?" So he says, "Why don't you come back over to our house and let me share with you what God has done in my life." Of course, my brother and I were very intrigued by this, and we decided to go over to his house. And all afternoon, he had shared what his road had been and how Christ had changed his heart and how he had had this amazing transformation, and all he wanted to do was share it with other people. And this is what I'm getting to here in Hebrews 13, let your brotherly love continue. We all know people that were once raised in the faith and have maybe detoured from it. Are you guys all out there, when you see them and you meet them and you talk to them, do you pull them aside and do you say, "How's your relationship with Christ?" Because that was the beginning spark in my life. Of saying, "Wow, how is it that God changed this person?" So as we were at his house and he was sharing this, it became nighttime. And we were in this cabin house. There was only three of us there, my brother, this friend, and myself, and my brother's dog. He had a little boxer dog with him. And his boxer dog was one of those really sweet, loving dogs. Never, ever was he a barker or any sort of aggressive dog. And my friend said, "You know what? Let's pray." And it had been a while since I had actually really, really said a prayer. So we agreed and we all gathered together. And as we started to pull together, my brother's dog, the hair on the back of his neck went straight up. And he started barking into the air as if there was something else in the room. And he was so aggressive that he was just rah, 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 you know, and he was barking everywhere. And of course, you know, this wasn't something that was regularly happening with this dog. So we quieted him down. We said, you know, shh, we're going to pray. And as we started to pray again, there was a little nutcracker that was sitting on the table. And its hat totally came off and smashed on the wall right next to us. Just flew through the air like someone had thrown it at us. And at this point, I said, "Stop. We're done. We're not praying anymore. I know what this is." You see, I had been raised ever since a child to know that there is a God out there. There is this fight. There is this war. And here, I had completely left my faith, completely gone into the center of Hollywood, completely been in the party lifestyle, on drugs, forgot about God. And here, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And it scared me so bad, I had actually driven from Southern California to Paradise with my brother Tom. I made him take me to the airport the next morning, and I caught a plane home. And I couldn't believe that this was real. And here, as I was walking around in the airport and seeing all these people, I was just looking around at all the faces in the airport going, "Do you know? Do you know? Does everybody here know, or has the wool been pulled over everybody's eyes? And how did I get from so much knowledge and such a home of truth to where I was now, and how was I able to leave it so quickly? So as I went back down to Los Angeles, my brother and I started talking. What do you think about this? Why are we these two kids, these two Adventist kids from paradise of all places in the center of Hollywood? What are we doing? So we started to dialogue with each other and pray to God, God, please send us someone or something. And then somebody called us up and gave us Ivor Myers' DVD, Escape from the Black Hole. Anybody out there heard of that one? And that just woke us right up. And Brandon continued to have conversations with us, and he shared with some more material that he had been learning, and all of a sudden my world was opened back up to God. And I can remember thinking, well, now what do I do? Here, I've worked in Hollywood. This is how I make my money. This is what I've chosen to do for a living. What do you want me to do now, God? So my brother and I started praying, Lord, we will do anything you want us to do. You tell us what to do, and we will walk through that door. Have any of you prayed that prayer out there? I tell you, if you pray that prayer, God will so fill your schedule full of things to do. We can barely handle it. So all of a sudden, I get a phone call, and it's my buddy from Paradise, and I had told him when we were up there, I said, if you ever need a place to stay, why don't you come stay with me on my couch down here in Southern California? And he called me up, and he said, I need a place to stay. And all of a sudden, within a month later, he shows up on my doorstep with two suitcases in his hands, and he's living with me. And I think, this is great. God sent somebody, this guy that turned me around. He was really good. He was a really good guitar player. And I thought, you know, now I can really start to rebuild my foundation and belief in God. Well, we would sing songs. We would study our Bible together. Well, it wasn't very long before my friend started opening his eyes to Hollywood. And you see, I had run from everybody I knew that was any sort of drug taker or anything. I had to change everybody in my phone. I changed all the people that I knew because I wanted to run away from that lifestyle. And I moved into a brand new house. This was the place that that he came to live with me. And right after he comes and lives with me, two major drug dealers move into us right below our house. It wasn't very long before my buddy that had already struggled with that from an early on started witnessing to these guys. And I can remember he'd come back in and he'd be like, man, it was great. I went over to these guys' house and, you know, they're there like packaging up their drugs and things, and I'm telling them about Christ. But it wasn't very long before all of a sudden I started to see the drugs starting to come back into my house. And then all of a sudden it started coming back into my life. And it wasn't very long before I was studying my Bible and doing drugs with this group of people, twisting my views of God once again. But God said, you know what? In his amazing love, I have a different plan for you. See, I think he sent me people in my life that have constantly tried to woo me back into the faith. And the devil knows this too. And so, all of a sudden, a girl came out to visit my friend who he was friends with. She was also from Paradise. And this girl, I hit it off with right away. And we started dating and we started having a relationship. And she was actually going to school here at Loma Linda in the dental hygiene department. And so it was through this meeting of this girl that I came back here to Loma Linda. And I started coming back to church for the very first time. So Loma Linda has a very special place in my heart because this is where I started coming back into the fold. And as I went to church the very first time, it had been a long time since I had really just attended church without any other motive than just wanting to go to church. And I can remember being there and feeling that feeling of Sabbath. You know how Sabbath has that just special feeling. You know it's Sabbath. I knew it was Sabbath, and I went to the church service, and I just had tears in my eyes. And hymns always get to me. whenever anybody sings hymns up here, it just brings back childhood memories of mine. And I can remember just almost just fighting back tears all day long. Well, of course, I was not telling this girl that I was still very much involved in the party lifestyle out in Los Angeles. And her being a student at Loma Linda, she only saw my best side. Because, of course, when you're dating, you only show your best side, right? Well, I had a couple bad experiences. And I finally said, you know what? Enough is enough. I know the truth. I have walked away from the truth. And just like the prodigal son must have just clicked in his head, this isn't happiness. This lifestyle is just full of pain and misery. So I jumped in my car and I drove out here to Loma Linda. And I decided to sit my girlfriend down and I said, you know what? I want to tell you everything about me. I'm addicted to this drug. I do this. I'm involved in this lifestyle and I'm sick of it. I want God in my life. And from that moment on, God has kept me clean. And so let me tell you out there, there is victory in anything. Christ can give anybody victory. So as I started to come back to church and started to gain my relationship back with God, I was still praying that prayer, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I'll do anything. And all of a sudden, we got a phone call. We were up visiting my girlfriend's parents, who is now my wife, by the way. I married her. And we went to church. And as we went to church, I noticed, you know, there weren't as many youth in the church as what I remember when I was a child. And I said, oh, man, that was just such a fun time for me when I was little. I remember going and just loving Sabbath school and loving church. So, of course, that was told to some other people, and all of a sudden I got a phone call. And they said, you know what would be great? We would love it if you would come up for a youth rally and talk about Hollywood. Maybe you could show a movie and talk about God. And I thought about that for a while, and I thought, yeah, that's great. And they said, good, because all kids love movies. So I said, okay, I'm going to think about this. So I called up my brother, who also worked in television, and I called up Brandon, and I said, I got this really unique project for us. For a youth rally, they want us to come up to Paradise, and they want us to just show a movie and talk about God. And of course, that's a very difficult thing to do. Most kids watch rated R movies nowadays, which you can't show, and everybody's made points from Walt Disney, which have been done. Let's look into, where does TV come from? What are actually the effects of television in your mind? And as we started to uncover and look at some of these things, the things that we were finding out were fascinating. There are thousands of books written on the effects of television in your mind. Has any of you ever read them? Because they're not on television. That's what I said. They didn't make the movie, How Not to Watch the Movie. So as we started to uncover some of these things, we said, wow, we don't even realize what we're involved in. We don't even realize at what level this is affecting everybody. So we put together this whole presentation, what are the actual effects of television in your mind? And then we started putting together some of the movie clips, and as we started to find out the effects, we started to really open up our eyes and pick apart some of these movies that we'd been watching. And we'd gone back over movies that we had seen 20, 30 times and never seen the stuff that we saw when we started opening our eyes. And then we started reading our Bibles and we started checking everything and saying, you know what? I see the error. Because before I wasn't reading my Bible. And some of these movies, as you all know, are coming out with such spiritual things. There's so many movies that are so close to this gospel story. But where is the most deception? The closest to the truth. It's harder to put your finger on. And so we put this all together in a presentation, and I really think that they didn't really know what we were going to do. I think that some of the people that had perhaps asked us to come up there They were really hoping that we were going to kind of talk good about movies. And we actually opened up the door on the other side. Well, we never ever intended to turn that into anything farther than just one time. We gave the presentation. It went over really well. We had a lot of kids that came up to us and just really said that they had been struggling with some occult things and some very, very heavy things in our Adventist school. And they were so glad that we had come up there and at least let them know that there's this war going on in this area. And so we started getting phone calls from across the nation. Southern called us and Union called us, and we started going and speaking and giving the same presentation and building it. And the Lord has just blessed us tremendously. Well, I was still working in television. And of course, after we gave this presentation, always people would always say, like, what do you do for a living? Well, you know, I still make this stuff. But God is very patient, and he's very patient with everybody. His end goal is to bring us so close to him that the things of the world will grow strangely dim. And honestly, I stand firm on that. The things that we started to expose to people and show them is just a scratching of the surface. The true heart of what we want to leave people with is to stop focusing on the things of the world and start focusing on eternal things. If you are not spending more time in your Bible than you are spending doing anything else in life, then the devil can have that foothold and start to lead you away from God. Just like I was led away from God, just like Brandon was led away from God, and I know my brother was led away from God. We knew all those things. We had the truth. It wasn't that we grew up not knowing. It was that we took our eyes off of Jesus, and we started to focus on the things of the world, which in turn focused us on the things of ourself. Well, God has been very gracious to us, and he has allowed all of us to leave our jobs in Hollywood. We no longer work out there. And we've entered full-time into a ministry that goes around and exposes some of these dangers. And then also, we had been trained how to make movies, how to shoot and edit and do all these other things. And so God, in his loving way, has given us opportunities to still use what we do for a living and turn it into a ministry that opened ourselves up to being able to help other ministries who don't have the ability to make a video. You see, I don't want to ever leave anybody with the intention of saying the TV in itself is evil. There is a lot of good that television can do. I was brought back into the church because somebody handed me a video. And so there is a whole world of people out there to reach. And this is just one of the avenues and one of the vehicles that we can reach a large population. But I also want to tell you, everybody out there has a friend, just like me, just like Brandon had a friend, who once knew the faith and left the faith. Are you opening up that conversation? Are you opening up that dialogue? I think back on all of the people that I was involved with out in Los Angeles, all of the movie sets that I was on, all of the close people that I was in contact with, and I kept my mouth shut about what I knew. I did not share my faith with anybody. In fact, even there was certain circumstances where I had a perfect opportunity to witness to people. I was on a movie set one time. Actually, it was a music video set one time. And the band that was there was kind of a very occultic band. I shouldn't have been there. I knew better. But I chose to put on a blind eye. And in the middle of the filming, they all took a break and they all stopped. And they had this whole set, and it really had nothing to do with God or anything, at least that you could perceive right off the bat. And on the set, there was this scene where they were going to drive a car through a whole wall of TVs, ironically. And on this table were a bunch of like film canisters and film strips, and I was there with a couple of my friends. And as I started to kind of look around the set and I started looking at some of the things, I picked up one of the film canisters that was on there. And I started to look at the film. And as I looked at it closely and I held it up to the light, it was a picture of Jesus Christ being crucified. And I looked at this and I just went, what is this doing here? And I went down the whole line of the table and I looked at it. And it was almost the whole story of Christ getting his hands nailed and all of a sudden getting placed up on the cross. And here I was around a lot of other people. I know what this is. I know why this is here. But I chose not to say anything to anybody. And I just kept my mouth shut. So what I'm really, really, really wanting to leave with you guys today is, even though we have a whole world to witness to out there, that we have family members and friends and people in our own close circles that maybe haven't fallen in love with Christ. That's what I grew up. I grew up without falling in love with Christ. I had all the knowledge, but I wasn't truly in love with him myself. And now that I am in love with him, there's nothing that I want more than to tell other people about the amazing transformation and love that God has done in my life. So with that being said, I'm going to say a little prayer. I know we're going to let you out a little bit early here. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the ability to fellowship with our church family here. I know that there are many people out there that have a similar story or a similar walk to me, that have grown up in the faith and left the faith and just have gotten busy with life or gotten busy with the things of this world. It is my prayer, Lord, that you put on each one of our hearts to love them, to constantly pray for them, and to reach out to them and tell them about the love that you have in each one of our lives, so that others may feel and take part in your salvation. Thank you so much, Lord, for your Sabbath.